AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of Champions League football returning to Glasgow. Brendan Rodgers says it's the most ready he's ever been going into the competition, with Slovan Bratislava visiting tomorrow. Robin Proper is excited ahead of Rangers' return to Ibrox this weekend. And Craig Levein is sacked by St Johnstone. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon DL. It's much easier. These midweek shifts, much easier when you've got Champions League football to look forward to.
Yeah, I think everybody, especially concerning Celtic tomorrow night, there'll be a full house there looking forward to it. The manager's done his press today talking about he feels that he's now ready for this, the challenge. He's accumulated a very good squad, very talented squad, and they've got an opportunity to get their Champions League campaign off and running, especially at home, and you would expect them to go and win that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Slovan Bratislava at home is the best tie that Celtic could have got. We know, you know, in Europe, there's always a surprise package, but I think if you look at the group that Celtic are in, this is the perfect opportunity to get off to a great start. You get 3 points, gives you belief, gives you confidence. It takes that kind of pressure off of you. And considering they did some good performances over the last couple of seasons gone, but the results have not been there. So it's all about the result tomorrow night. And as Gordon mentioned there, a strong squad playing with confidence just broke the record. There was 100 years there, 5 clean sheets. So they couldn't get into this match in any better form.
0141-951-1025. Come on down, especially Celtic fans, if we're talking tomorrow night, the eve of Champions League football. How do you feel about it? How important is that next step? I think we all know domestic success has been fairly regular in recent seasons, and every season we talk about the next step being the Champions League. The difference this season, of course, a new format, teams like Slovan Bratislava coming to Celtic Park. How do you feel about the challenge? How important is it you get up and running with those 3 points? Does the new format give you a better chance of progressing? Brendan Rodgers says he feels more ready than ever. Would you agree with that? And then what about the squad? Maybe most of the team picks itself. You know, we like to stir up a good debate about that. Is there any? Is there any debate to be had? Does Engels, I take it he stays in. What does Paolo Bernardo do? Is he just remain on the bench after the weekend? I saw one or two debating on social media whether Rio Hatate drops out for Paolo Bernardo. That would surely be a huge call. But give us all your thoughts ahead of this Champions League tie and campaign in general, Celtic fans. 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers, so let's hear from you. You can join in there as well. Rangers fans, any leftover thoughts from the weekend? Yes, it was just one win. It was one win against Dundee United, but you're starting to feel a bit more relaxed maybe than some of the doom and gloom over the last few weeks. You've got Ibrox to look forward to this weekend. What's on your mind tonight? We're going to hear from Robin Proper. And our first top flight managerial casualty of the season is Craig Levein at St Johnstone. Any St Johnstone fans out there, or any neutral observers if you like, we know Craig Levein's a big name, a well-known figure in Scottish football, and he is out of a job this evening. So give us your reaction to that. You two know how unforgiving this football business is. Is that what we're seeing in action?
We used to get 6 games. Now it's 5 league games.
Oh, it's tough to please
them. And by the way, let me tell you now, he'll not be the last, because that's the way football is now. You don't get much time. You've got to keep winning games. You've got to keep progressing. You're looking at that league table just now. It's not like he's sitting bottom of the league. It's not like he's been detached, Jim, after 5 games. It's just performances, it's results. They've looked at going forward, and they've decided that a change must be needed. And an experienced manager losing his job. We don't like to see it, but it happens.
We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it later in the show. And again, please, St Johnstone fans or anyone who's got a thought on Craig Levein, give us a phone. Is it quite obvious though, Jim, that there's been a change in ownership? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's clearly not based all on the league table. It's not like they're on some horrendous run. It must be linked to that.
Yeah, I mean, again, then you have to look at what, you know, the ambitions of St Johnstone realistically should be. You know, survival is the biggest thing for St Johnstone, staying in the Premier League, and Craig Levein achieved that last season. And there's every chance he might do it this year. It might not be always as pleasing on the eye. He's had players suspended. He said there's been a couple of rash red cards. Style of football is always going to be put in question. And that's something that I think new owners in particular that come in now have a much bigger say in. They want a style, they want a bit more of a flair in the football, a bit more flamboyant type of football. And managers have to try and achieve that, and particularly in a short period of time. But I think you're right, Gordon. I think with the new owners coming in, they want their own guy. It's kind of common practice, really, that it's rarely that someone comes in and stays with the current manager, even if he's actually doing pretty well. We saw it down south at Birmingham when John Eustace was there doing very well, but then the new owners come in, I'll be binned him, get Wayne Rooney in, didn't quite work. So even at a higher level with a lot of money and a lot of resources, yeah, the owners want to put the club in their direction, and Craig Levein's had to suffer for that.
I mean, it's Tuesday and we've got Champions League football, so we're almost over it already, but since you're here, thoughts on the weekend? Now we're looking around it often and move on.
I sat again, Gordon, as I normally do. You're obviously studying for the show tonight. Watched the highlights again.
I'm sure you did.
A lot of good performances. I thought Celtic at times weren't up to their sharpest, but they've got such talent there. You always know that even if you sit in, they're going to break you down, and another clean sheet, perfect. Aberdeen are going absolutely brilliant, you've got to say that. Good result for Rangers. I thought performance first half, Tom Lawrence's goal was excellent, probably could have had another couple. And then you look down the bottom of the league, it wasn't a quiet game at St Mirren. You know, with St Mirren and Kilmarnock sending off as well, a lot to say after it with the managers. And then Hearts, they certainly need a result, but they go to St Mirren in next game.
Okay, 01419511025. Plenty to get through, various topics to cover, but let's turn our attentions to the Champions League.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexperts.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, European football back this week with Celtic in action against Slovan Bratislava here at Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'll be there every step of the way. The team are going to be out and about covering all the group stage games, home and away. And it's big thanks to UK Debt Expert. Did you know there will be about 60,000 fans at the game? I'm sure you did. Well, UK Debt Expert have helped over four times that many people with their debt. So I'm sure that's something that many of you could seek help for as well. And a big thanks to the guys for helping us with our European football coverage. With that in mind, let's do it. Let's dive in. We're back for a new season. Gary is in Blantyre. Gary, what are you thinking ahead of the Champions League then?
Hi, Gordon. And hi, Jim and Gordon.
Hi, Gary.
Like Brendan Rodgers says, if he thinks this is the most prepared he's been, and I'm assuming he's talking in his time at Celtic, then I'm happy with that. I'll go with him. In terms of who's going to play in the midfield especially, I mean, Engels has bought for £11 million to come in and make a difference in the Champions League. That's what he's bought for. That's why the money's spent. I think Bernardo's really unlucky if he doesn't play. He's probably played his best game for Celtic against Rangers there just a few weeks ago. But clearly, a couple of Celtic don't spend £11 million a player to sit him on the bench. But it's a great headache for Brendan Rodgers to have. It's any three of the four, or any two of the three, probably. McGregor's in there as a stick-on. But I think Kitati being kind of benched, it wouldn't surprise me totally. I think Bernardo, obviously, against Rangers, like I say, was superb. Engels looked the part on Saturday, as he did against Rangers when he came on. I think it's exciting, actually. But any three of the four midfielders, I think, will do a great job for us.
Just a personal thing because Gary makes a great point, and Bernardo was excellent against Rangers, so you raise eyebrows a touch when he's left out. I'm not as close to it as Gary and others. I just feel like Hatate's always kind of nailed on for games like this. But is that not the case then? Have I picked that up wrong?
It's basically down to one choice for his starting 11 if everybody's fit, and it will be in the middle of the park, Hatate or Bernardo, because the other two are stick-ons to play. Let's be honest about that.
So you think they're both more of a stick-on than Hatate is?
Yeah. I think it'll be a straight call between Bernardo and Hatate. Now, Hatate is, for me, a terrific footballer. We can't deny that. I don't think he's at his peak. And I've got to say, since Bernardo's come back, especially against Rangers, I thought he must have felt a bit disappointed to be left out the next game. But there's just something about Bernardo for me. I think he's got so much talent. I would hate to be Brendan Rodgers making that call tomorrow night, but I think that is what's going to happen. It'll be Bernardo or Hatate.
I sound like Hatate's agent. It doesn't make much difference to me, Jim. It just feels like over the last couple of seasons we've seen a real high ceiling for him. Fair enough. If there's a challenge to get to that ceiling, fine. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Hatate will play. I don't think there'll be any real surprises. I think it'll be Kuhn and Maeda with Kyogo, the front three, and I think it'll be Hatate, Ingles and McGregor. But it's the strength that Celtic have now got, and as Gary mentioned there, it's not any, you're not weakening the team now, and that's exactly what Brendan Rodgers wanted. You know, last year when one or two key players were missing, Celtic were significantly weaker. Now that's not the case. As he mentioned, four there, but he's also missed out Luke McCowan, who's come in and again scored his first goal at the weekend. So there's a real number of top-class, talented players there at his disposal. And although this is European football, what that does is it sends a message domestically, particularly with the five substitutes, that Celtic can change half their outfield players and, you know, give so many options to Brendan Rodgers. That's exactly what he wanted. I'm sure he would have liked it a little bit earlier than the last day or so, but nevertheless, he's got what he was looking for. And I think this is a big match for Celtic. I think they really have to stamp their authority in this match. I don't think there's any excuses. You're playing a team who are not one of the major teams in Europe, who are not playing one of the toughest leagues. You're at home. This is the game that Celtic must grab by the scruff of the neck and take it to the opponents. I think in other games they might have to tweak the midfield, but in this particular game, I think you go with your strongest attacking lineup, and I think Hatate's in that.
I think Gary Rio Hatate missed exactly half of the group stage games last season. I think he played three. Even I can figure out that means he missed three. And it feels like back then there was a lot of comments made about how frustrating that was, that he wasn't available. But you think he could sit this one out tomorrow?
I think it's a measure of the strength and depth that we've got now, especially in that, that midfield area. Like Jim just said, you're not weakening the team if Hatate's not playing, and Engels and Bernardo are. So, like I said before, it's exactly what Brendan Rodgers would have demanded when he came back to Celtic, as a squad that is, it's got players sitting in the wings waiting to come in, but not weaken the team or not lessen it in any way. I don't care what three the four play. And again, Jim mentioned Luke McCowan there as well. Probably not a starter. I'd be really surprised, but again, he could come on and do something. It kind of reminds me of David Turnbull, actually. The goal at the weekend was kind of Turnbull-esque, if you like. I'm excited about this campaign. Hatate, Bernardo, Engels, whoever it is.
Come on, Gary, don't sit in the fence. Who are you going for? Come on.
Say Engels, Hatate and McGregor.
There you go. We go back to this used to be a clue. I feel like this used to be a clue more than it is now. I feel like I've seen it contradicted a few too many times. Paulo Bernardo did the press today.
Whoa,
he was the one player. It used to be. The first Celtic, I think I've told this before, the first Celtic away game I worked at in the Champions League was Brendan Rodgers' first group stage, the 7-0 in the Nou Camp, and Tom Rogic did the press. And the Spanish press were all sort of buzzing around after, saying, okay, who's he? And how do you say that, Rodgic? And what is he like? And then he didn't play the next night. So I don't think it's as much of a clue as it used to be, but perhaps. Let's actually hear Gary Welsh, you're on, because you've teed it up beautifully. Brendan Rodgers talking about his midfield. He's delighted with his midfield options and thinks that depth will give them an advantage.
Brilliant. It's absolutely what I would want, because I know that I can't use three players the whole the whole season. It's not about just one player. The midfield is about the three, but it's also about having the numbers there that when you take one off or you have to recover one, you can put one on, it doesn't change. If you look at the level that Paulo Bernardo's been at since he's come back, he's now really settled back in. He now feels like he's a Celtic player. Having come back late to us, trained ever so well, comes on some games, came into the Rangers game was outstanding. But that's how it'll work over the course of the season. You know, there's not a starting 11. You know, it's really, really important for us. How we play and the energy we play, our subs are absolutely vital for us. That's what can give us an advantage. But there's a cost to how we play with the intensity and the work and everything. So that means our bench has to be strong, and that's the readiness that we talk about. That makes me feel in a really good place.
You know, Gary, just looking at those midfield options, the Ingles, is it the price tag? Is it the kind of profile of game? Or is it the fact you were particularly impressed with him on Saturday that makes you think he definitely stays in?
I think, not so much. Well, I suppose the price tags get something to do with it, because clearly the board will maybe ask questions about bringing a player in for that much money and then benching him. But he looks tall, he's fit, he's up, he's back, he's a danger in the box. He just looks like a full package, and under Brendan Rodgers, you can only see him getting better and improving. But I think one thing Brendan Rodgers mentioned there was there is no starting 11. Now, you guys always talk about, for example, Philip Clement doesn't know his best starting 11. He doesn't know it yet. Now, Brendan Rodgers might not know his best starting 11, but that's because he can have a number of players in that 11. So we don't have, it's not a starting 11 we've got. We've just got a squad now full of players that can come in and make a difference, or make a difference in a positive way, but no kind of lessen the strength of the team. So, yeah, it's...
I take Gary's point, but I reckon he can go pretty close, because we've all just said tomorrow it's going to be...
Yeah, right now that's his strongest.
And it might change, and Austin Trusty might eventually really push Liam Scales and so on. I think we're all in agreement. You'd be amazed if it was more than one, if any, changes.
No, he's got to play his strongest 11 tomorrow.
But that's what I mean.
And as I said, the back four, the goalkeeper, the front three, Jim's named them, will stay the same, because that is the strongest just now. Yes, people have come into the club. It takes time maybe to settle in. Ingles is in there for £11 million for these games tomorrow night. So that's why he was paid, obviously, the big price tag for him. And I like the look of him, what I've seen so far. I thought standing up there in front of 60,000 the other day there with his penalty kick, cool as, you know, a young lad, 20, you'd be a bit nervous because you're wanting the ball to hit
and
the
did
back
you see the clip of the Hearts players, most notably Lawrence Shankland, in the background? Have you not seen this one? So you think it's like maybe Celtic's own footage or something from behind the goal almost. And they're shouting big pressure when he's about to take the penalty. Someone shouts something about his price tag as well, I think.
Well, I like that. I like that wee bit games.
Especially if you handle
it. You score.
Let me tell you, it certainly didn't put him off. He probably didn't understand what they're shouting, but it was a
good that might help. Thank you very much to Gary. 01419511025. Perfect time to get involved in the discussion. Brendan Rodgers says this is the most ready he's felt going into a Champions League campaign. Do you match that comfort level, Celtic fans, or is it not quite that simple? Let us know right now. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Jim Duffy are looking ahead to Celtic in the Champions League tomorrow, amongst other things. If you want to talk about something else, you know we're here for you on 01419511025. Let's keep going on that theme though. I wonder how ready you feel, Celtic fans, and how you view this and what constitutes success and what your aims are, because it's different. We're kind of learning on the job here. We've not had this Champions League format before. We've had a bit of debate before the break, which I'm interested to get more thoughts on. Some suggestions that maybe even some of you would leave Rio Hatate out to bring Paulo Bernardo back in. Or is that crazy talk? You can decide. 01419511025. Let's bring in Josh, who's on the line. How are you, Josh?
You're right, Gordon. You okay, mate? How's it going?
What are you thinking then? What's the feeling?
Yeah, so we need to start tomorrow's game on the front foot. Set that stall out straight away. Get on the front foot. Get the early goal, maybe. Because Celtic Park's going to be expecting. Because of the foundations we put in place in the league campaign, we haven't conceded the goal yet. We've been keeping it nice and tight at the back, and then built on that foundation. So that's sort of what I'm looking at in tomorrow's game, building on the atmosphere. And obviously getting the monkey off the close bat, but we haven't actually won the first game in the European group stage. So it'd be nice to sort of tick that box, get the 3 points nice and early. Build from there into the home games, quite favourable as well. And then like any points we can garner in the away games is obviously a bonus. But I'd obviously start with trying to win the home games, Gordon, because it'll give you that foundation to try and finish in the top 24. It's definitely doable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It reminded me of like a more extreme version of when they changed the format of the Euros, and then you bring up records from when the format was different. This is more exaggerated, because Josh is right. It's 12 attempts. Celtic have never won on match day one of the Champions League. Might suggest they've never had a game like Slovan Bratislava at home in match day one of the Champions League. I know it's a crude way of looking at it, but just out of professional curiosity, much like you do on a Saturday, had a look at the odds for the game. I think I saw in one place I looked, it was 9-1 or something for Bratislava to win. That, to me, looks more like a Scottish Premiership game. You know, and I mentioned it last night, Brendan Rodgers' first game in the group stage in his first spell was Barcelona away. And then the next season, his first game was PSG, came to Glasgow, and Mbappe played, and Neymar played, and Cavani. So, yeah, this is an interesting fact about trying to break that run of never winning on match day one, but this must be a different proposition.
Yeah, Josh mentions there, and we do agree. I think everybody agree the fact that the home games are so important. But I don't think you can look by tomorrow night. I think you've got to just focus on that. Celtic do gain firm favourites, especially the league form as well. The squad that they've built, the energy they've got, the football they're playing, clean sheets, as Josh mentioned as well. So everything's going very well. The manager, Brendan Rodgers, sounds very confident, very upbeat. He's happy, he's relaxed. He knows he's got a very, very good squad. He knows that if things aren't going well tomorrow night, he's got quality in the bench behind him that he can change the game if he wants. But you've still got to go out and produce it, because 60,000 fans are going along there expecting Celtic to get off and running, Jim. And to be fair, if they play the way they've been playing the league campaign, then I fancy them strongly as well.
Yeah, I think Celtic should win, but I think Bratislava will take a little bit of confidence from watching the Hearts game. They'll do an analysis at the weekend. Hearts made it extremely difficult for Celtic. Celtic weren't at their best, they weren't at their sharpest in the previous games, particularly in the Rangers game, where they were absolutely magnificent. Celtic and the tempo and the energy. Maybe there was a little bit of a, looking at the midweek fixture and the European tie coming up. Perhaps, and also no disrespect, they've got a championship side in Falkirk at the weekend, and they've got this huge squad which they can change a number of players and should still be able to win that match. So they can throw everything at it. They can go with all guns blazing against Bratislava. But I think Bratislava will. I think they'll look to play on the counter-attack. I don't see them coming and being expansive. I don't think they're good enough in terms of, if you look at their league form as well, they're a little bit inconsistent. They lost one game 5-0, so they can lose goals. I'm a wee bit like Josh. I think if Celtic really get after them from the start and score early, I think that could spook them, and Celtic could have a very good night.
Suppose what they have done is they've got that hardened experience of they've come right the way through the qualifiers for this. You need to have a bit about you to do that, as we've seen in the past. I think Michelin were the last opponent they put out. Josh, with that increased expectation, does there come a bit of increased pressure, or at least a different pressure, where it's not an absolute European superpower and fans aren't, fans won't be understanding, basically, as they sometimes would be if it doesn't go to plan?
Yeah, so we can't sort of get complacent. This is the European Cup, so the teams are there on merit. You've said Bratislava have come through the qualifying stages, so they're no mugs, are they? They'll be up for the game. I was reading what Vladimir Weiss was saying in the newspapers at the weekend, trying to stoke the fire, saying that they'll be right up for it. So they've got to go out there. The exact thing that I've just said, try and get the early goal. Take the frustration level, because the longer it goes 0-0, the more it suits the opposition and the more the frustration will build inside Parkhead. So So just, I mean, not even an early goal, Gordon, just get on the front foot and get at the team and, you know, perhaps win a couple of corners or get some free kicks high up the pitch and take the sting out of the game. Because that's going to be Bratislava's game plan right from minute one. Sit deep, frustrate Celtic, look to play on the counter-attack, as has been pointed out. You know, Gordon makes a perfect point as well. The 60,000 Celtic fans, you know, expecting the team to go out and put on a performance. I want to ask the lads, actually, you know, in big games like this, what's it like to play in those kind of atmospheres? And what key ingredients do you think Brendan's going to be looking at to sort of kill the early pressure from the other team, basically, and get on that front foot and be aggressive?
Yeah, I think that'll be the game plan tomorrow. I think every Celtic player will be looking forward to it. Gives you an extra edge under the floodlights. I don't know, Jim is the same as me. I love playing under floodlights, and obviously the bigger the crowd, the adrenaline was running higher. You know that they're there, and it's such an important game, that championship. Champions League music as well before a game. That'll get.
Has it not been revamped this season as well?
Is it?
I mean, it sounds the same. Yeah,
George
but
Bowie
not
kind of take on it, is it?
Like a remix,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
If you've got a sophisticated ear, it sounds it's a little bit more kind of upbeat, roughly the same. Yeah.
And the Celtic players will know how important this game is for them tomorrow night, Gordon. I think they'll be right at the opposition. But let's not forget, even as a player going to like say Celtic or Ibrox when I was with other club and there were 50,000-60,000 there, you get a buzz, you get a kick for that as well. You know, you
try and silence them and
oh,
all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But it's up to Celtic to play that free flowing quick football.
I suppose we need to acknowledge, Jim. I've been the one saying it, you know, it is one of the more gentle fixtures you could hope for in the Champions League. But maybe on Bratislava Super scoreboard tonight. They're looking at their fixtures because I don't know if they play Man City. They're going to play Milan. They go away to Atletico Madrid and Bayern Munich. So they might be saying this is one of our better chances at getting something.
Of course
on
they
the
will, because everyone will look at the Scottish gate, the game, the Scottish league. We heard Brendan Rodgers talking about it when Matt O'Reilly was going, "Don't look at the league, look at the quality." But the league isn't looked upon as one of the, and it's not one of the strongest European leagues. So we've got to be honest with that. But we've also got to be realistic in the sense that, you know, neither is the league Bratislava's in. So therefore, Celtic have a fantastic opportunity. They've got to get the balance right between making sure they're up at it, the tempo, the quickness, but also the discipline. Celtic lost a couple of players in the last couple of games in Europe. Red cards, needless red cards, because the referees are, you know, less you know, tolerant, I think, and so you've got to be careful of challenges. So you've got to get that balance right and don't get too caught up in the atmosphere with the adrenaline. We know, like Celtic, as you say, to all the light show, the adrenaline, the music, but you've got to get that balance right where you're at it, but can manage to rein in, you know, put the brakes on when required. But I still think that, yeah, you're right, Bratislava probably will look at Celtic and think this is a game that we might be able to win. But I still think Celtic, on paper, are a better team. I think they're playing with tremendous confidence at this moment in time. I agree with Brendan Rodgers. They're in a really good position, both physically and mentally. The fans are on side. There's a real togetherness there. I said, you've got to tear up the excuse book. There's no excuses. Celtic have to win tomorrow night.
We'll see on that. So this was the headline, and let's hear that answer in particular. Thank you to Josh. Brendan Rodgers saying this is the most ready he's felt going into a Champions League campaign with Celtic.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt this feels like the most ready I've been as a Celtic manager coming into a Champions League campaign, naturally because of the qualification phase and the doubt around all of that, and then trying to then get players in late on the back of that. Last season, coming in, trying to find out about players and managing them through that. And then seeing them in the competition. But having had a year under my belt back here and seeing all the players and being able to improve a lot of the areas that I want, there's still areas that we want to improve in. But certainly the readiness is a great word. I think we that feeling of arriving at this first game is will have been the best place that probably I've been in since I've been here.
And that, see, before we even get to then the standard of the opposition, because we've done that already. If you were talking just about Celtic, you can see what he means, can't you? Because league form, I mean, flawless. You know, not even conceded a goal. But even more, so Brendan Rodgers' first season, first goal at the Champions League, he's just in. So he's rebuilding and it's all that stuff. was that the Beersheva? So they'd go through qualifiers, Apoel, Beersheva. It is a bit frantic, you're trying to add to the squad. The next year, I think Astana again, so it's another like tough trip away. Then when he comes back, it's last year, they weren't really flying at the start. It's against the backdrop of people maybe not even wanting him back. So even forget the opposition, can you see why it would feel a bit more settled going into this one?
I think so, because again, he's got the players in the strength and depth. I think last year when Carter Vickers was missing, Hattati was missing, Kyogo missed for a spell, all these kind of things, McGregor, you know, the Celtic didn't have, I mean, Brendan Rodgers stated it himself at times where he wanted to play with a quicker tempo and everything being a little bit sharper. And he actually came out at one time, so he's like, I haven't changed anything here. You know, I think he did, but what's happening now with the squad strength is the squad themselves will be pushing the players that are in the team, and they'll be looking over their shoulder thinking, I need to perform here. So I think that again shows it how ready they are, because he's got a real strong squad, a real backbone of the team that can push the players in front. If they don't perform tomorrow night against Slovan Bratislava, there's every chance that two or three of them could be dropped for the next European game. And that's what, you know, these players want to do. They want to play at the very highest level. So again, I agree 100% with him. I think this is the best shape that Celtic's been in since Brendan Rodgers.
I think there's a different look about Celtic this time. I think that what helped as well, Gordon, I think they had a brilliant pre-season. Everything clicked for them. When Brendan Rodgers come back at first, we had phone calls about the usual, about a manager style of play. It was too slow. We were used to Postecoglou. Celtic are playing some fast flowing football. Some of the times terrific. You know, going forward, the way they can just turn over a defence into attack, the middle of the park, they've got three guys up front playing very well indeed. So I think they're just in a different space just now. And confidence is the same. They've not conceded a goal. I think they'll need to be careful, because if I go back to, and Jim makes a great point about opposition will look at the Hearts game, and Hearts could have probably, you know, broke that record. Yeah, they could have probably got a goal. They missed a great opportunity, but I just fancy Celtic strongly tomorrow night.
James is on the line. Are you ready, James? Do you echo those words that the manager said?
No, I don't really know. I'm trying to explain something here to the boys. It's eight cup finals we have played. We must take something from the games, because the most important thing I think people forgot about is there's no second bite of the cherry. You don't get that team back at home. I'm currently watching Young Boys against Aston Villa, who were two up or three up. They're ripping Young Boys apart. That's two teams we've got to meet in the format. But the most important thing is it's eight different cup finals. We must take points away from him. We must have any chance, guys. And watching it at the moment, Aston Villa look extremely good. Young Boys look absolutely poor at the back. So just remind supporters that it's vital that we get a home win and try and go away to Dortmund or try and go away to Atalanta and get something. Because if you don't, I don't think we'll qualify for the last 16, guys.
Yeah, it's funny. No, I think it's a really good explanation, because it's always been that way anyway, that you would try and win your home games, and that's usually enough there or thereabouts to sort of see you through. So that's even in the old format. So you take that into the new format, and then you throw in the fact that undeniably Celtic's hardest games are away. So the home games must be more important than
ever. I agree with Gordon. Gordon said the other one, you've just got to focus. I mean, although James is saying every game's a cup final, or, you know, using the phrase, I think you've got to forget about the other seven games this moment, the other six games. You've got to focus 100% on Slovan Bratislava. Celtic have not had a good European campaign for a number of years. The only way they can be in the contest and be in to challenge is to get that first win. You get that first win, you get confidence, you get belief. It continues the feel-good factor. You don't win this game, then every other game is highlighted, and then all those stats are thrown at you all the time then, Gordon. Mm-hmm. You take those stats away by winning this match tomorrow night. So don't worry about the other games coming up, whether it's Young Boys, Aston Villa, or anyone else. Concentrate on tomorrow night.
I like it.
Get the result.
I like it, because James is doing a bit of scouting for us, and he can tell us. And I had seen the score, and Villa clearly not struggling.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how good or bad these other teams are. If you don't beat Bratislava tomorrow night, you're not doing your own job.
James, same team as the weekend, or can you see Bernardo coming in? If so, who for?
I think Itake is one of the most gifted players in the team, but against Rangers on Saturday again, he didn't seem on the ball. He didn't seem to be on his best form. Bernardo, give him a chance. I mean, that's what we want the players for. It's going to be a very difficult decision who we play in midfield, because we've never dropped McGregor, ever. So you've got to look at the other players and say, right, that's what we paid all the cash for. Put them in and see what happens. I would drop my tatty.
It's a big shout. It is a big shout, James. I have to say, do you agree or disagree with James? You know where we are. Drop Patati, he says. Would you go that far? Or have you got other ideas? Give us a call whilst I tell you about this. A double rollover on Make Me a Winner this afternoon. The caller picked up but said, hello. Usually fine, not when you're playing Make Me a Winner, of course. Answer within five rings and say Make Me a Winner straight away. You could be the winner of £140,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you need to be in the draw. Just imagine, Gordon, what you'd do with that. You'd have still £140,000 because you would just get everything for free like you always do, and then I would just sit there.
I'd just put it under the bed.
Just not bothered at all.
But anyway, the other £140,000.
Text yes.
£140,000.
Text yes to 61025. Text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And the entries since Colin won on Friday have rolled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are online. And again, answer within five rings. Make me a winner straight away. The 140 grand would be yours. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm delighted that you but we don't have the displeasure of Mark Wilson's company tonight. Why? Because we were at a golf day together yesterday. You couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And his team won. You would have been disgusted.
I would have probably called him a cheat.
So I think that possible. Yeah. I wouldn't make those accusations.
Not the other three guys. I bet he was Martin the car.
You're looking at, and he was. I mean, how would you? He's
no good.
And then he said he was terrible.
Yeah.
And then next thing I see him up collecting the prizes, and I'm like, I just don't know.
It's a team game.
No, it broke my heart.
The rest must have been incredible.
Gordon seen him walking out the pro shop with a bag, so he's away home with something.
It'll be a gift, a winning prize.
Yeah.
He
texts me on Sunday night, but I just blanked it.
Anyway, Jamie's on. Jamie, how are you?
Hi, not too bad, Gordon. How you doing?
Not bad. What's your main thought then ahead of this one tomorrow?
I was listening to the guy. I think he was just on before the break. Sorry, I don't know, because I called in immediately after I heard his point.
Yeah.
But he said about dropping Rio Hatate, which I think that's crazy. Celtic are much better side with Rio Hatate, and that was proven by the stats last season. I think with Rio Hatate in the team last year, our win percentage was like 96%, and when I'm out the team, I'm sure it was 64 sticks out in my head for some reason, but it was certainly wasn't 96% without Rio Hatate in it. I think the midfield three tomorrow night has to be Callum McGregor and Hatate in the sort of as the engine in the middle, having Engels just playing off the front three. Because, I mean, but and that's no disrespect to Bernardo, because Bernardo's been absolutely class since he joined. He was fantastic against Rangers, and that's not to say he doesn't deserve a place in the team. But to accommodate all four of them, you need to then drop Dyson or Coon on the wing and go for them maybe a four in the midfield, and that's just know how Celtic play. So I think realistically, we need to get over the fact that Hatate's maybe, just because he's not been as good as, like, Callum McGregor's been a standout. Do you know what I mean? So obviously, Hatate's maybe been a little bit in his shadow this season, but we are absolutely a better team with Hatate in the midfield, and I think it's crazy, any idea of dropping him.
You cannot argue with a man who brings stats to back up. And it is true, I'm sure there would be a counterpoint where you say, okay, but are you getting a better version of Bernardo this season, maybe? And also, actually, it felt like he was almost used more in the Champions League last season than he was in some of the domestic games. Bernardo, is there something that's maybe a bit suited, or is this Are we lumping it all together as if Champions League football is this different being, when actually a home game against Slovan Bratislava isn't this, you know, mythical different challenge?
Well, it is in a psychological sense to get over it. But the one thing I like to Jamie's point there was that he was mentioning how Callum McGregor has maybe changed a little bit, in the sense of that he scored obviously a couple of fantastic goals. But that's because that partnership with Hatate has been developed over the last few seasons. And Hatate is now slotting round a little bit, allowing McGregor to go, not quite as rigid as it perhaps once was, with McGregor always a deeper player. Hatate getting goals last year. Obviously, you know, Matt Riley scored a lot of goals last year. So I think there's a little bit more flexibility in Celtic's midfield. They can accommodate each other more. And I think you need that in Europe, you know, because Celtic at times have been exposed in midfield, you know, maybe too high up the pitch. And any when they've lost it, when they haven't won the press, the top teams have played through them and then capitalised. So I think the fact that Hatate has changed his game a little bit has perhaps taken some of the spotlight off him in terms of his goal threat and things like that. And so I agree with Jamie that I still think Hatate should play. But I do think that Celtic are stronger this year, and therefore if Bernardo did play, I think he's, as you say, Gordon, I think he's a better player now than he was a year ago when he came at first on loan.
It's not your view, Jamie, where is this doubt around Rio Hatate coming from among some Celtic fans, do you think? Or is it just more of an attempt at complimenting Paulo Bernardo?
I honestly don't know sort of where it comes from. I think I genuinely think it is. It's just because he's not been in amongst the goals. Do you know what I mean? And I think Bernardo was such a standout against Rangers that I think that a lot of Celtic fans are kind of like, oh, he needs to be in the team. And I completely understand that. I really, actually, to bring it back to something you said a minute ago, that is a good point, that Bernardo did play in the European games last season as well. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers, I think the team, so I think he'll probably go with the team that we've seen mostly this season, but obviously with Engels swapping it for Bernardo, but he might well decide to go down that route and we might see McGregor, Bernardo and Engels. But I don't think Bernardo gives you the same output as what Hatate gives you. I think Hatate is more of a sort of like an engine room type player, and we've seen him in the Champions League before as well. He's playing some absolute Rolls Royce passes against Real Madrid and things like that, do you know what I mean? So Hatate steps up as well to this level. But I mean, who knows? He might even go with Bernardo just because it is potentially lesser opposition. And I say that with every finger and every toe crossed, because I know what Celtic are like in Europe. So it's it is a wee bit up in the air. I mean, we can obviously speculate, but my personal opinion is Hatate, McGregor driving force in that midfield, Engels playing off the front three and trying to link up and hopefully create some goals and get us off to a good start.
Yeah, a real split on this one, I have to say. Jamie in York backs up his case very well. You can't ask for more than that. Stephen Roy, similar on Twitter, at Clyde SSB. Rodgers would be crazy to drop Hatate. We are not as good without him, says Stephen on Twitter, and Jamie in York on the phones. It's that time of the night where we play this, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, team selection dilemmas are the theme of the night. It's pretty easy in here. We toss the coin and it's either Jim Duffy or Gordon DL taking on you. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7 and Beat the Pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here. He's just put us in our place, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Over the break, because we always talk at this time what we are having for dinner. It's at that stage, and he started dropping in that he's got a certain taste for Italian food because he used to hang about with Gianluca Vialli,
yeah,
and go to Roberto Di Matteo's pizzeria. You, me, Mark Wilson and Hugh get a burnt pie in here on a Saturday.
Exactly.
And this guy's fine dining in the finest places in London.
And
they
picked a bill.
Yeah, that's when I was a bit 3 stone lighter. So that helped. Didn't matter then.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think you overdone it.
Was it the pizza and pasta?
I know myself.
Anyway, yeah. Champions League football very much on the agenda. If you're just joining us, we've been hearing from Celtic fans and Brendan Rodgers, and a debate about whether Rio Hatate or Arnie Ingles plays has just sort of sparked, or Rio Hatate or Paolo Bernardo plays has just kind of come out of the woodwork this evening, but that's fine. Keep your thoughts coming there. Anything else on your mind? If you want to change focus away from that, you can. There's still another hour left, Rangers fans. I know, again, you'll be sort of grudging this quiet midweek, but you get your crack at European football down the line. Back to Ibrox this weekend. I know it's only Tuesday, but is that something you're looking forward to? We'll hear from Robin Proper and our first top flight managerial casualty of the season. Craig Levein is gone. St Johnstone fans, is that the right call or the wrong call? And we're opinionated on everything here, so you don't need to be a St Johnstone fan. Just give us your thoughts and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. What did we have? Apparently you're a 50% win rate.
I'm back up.
So boring that, isn't it?
Just, after Thursday. No mother's allowed to phone in after I win.
Oh, don't. Honestly, see, that gave me a headache that last week. So that was the last time you were on.
Thursday.
So the contestant phoned in.
I beat them.
Whilst he was on, his mum phoned in.
Yeah, I felt so sorry for him.
You knew his mum.
She made my coffee and everything, yeah.
But I think we just move on from that. And it was weird. It was really, really weird. Yeah. I was getting a lot of messages about that, just talking about how just strange. Just, I think bizarre things happen when you're around. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's make this more straightforward.
I was interested in Gordon. It's better to be that.
Brian is on the line. How are you, Brian?
Not bad, yourself.
Not bad, Brian. Not bad. Have you ever played before?
Yes.
Oh, and how did it go?
Lost 1-1.
Hold on a minute. You've already best got of three. A ball.
Best of three. This has been going a long time. Some people could have played. It could have been three times over the last 12 years.
Have you still got the ball, Brian?
Mine, and donated to one of your charities.
See, that's the type of guy Brian
nice
is.
Prize-o. Who did you beat?
I think it's Hugh Evans.
Ah, it sounds about right, I have to say. Heads, it will be Jim Duffy tonight, and tails, it's Gordon Dalziel. And it is heads, it's Jim Duffy.
Right.
You've been your old sparring partner, Roger Hanna, have you seen him?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I bet his head's burnt.
Bronzed.
I bet his head is burnt.
Bronzed, let me tell you.
He'd duck under the sun in Mexico.
Well, he was on last night, and obviously we've put him on -2 this season.
No way!
But he's never played, not once. I can't get the coin to land on tails when he's in.
So he's undefeated.
He's a fly, essentially.
Can't wait to see him.
Let's give Jim Duffy something else to listen to. Brian, you've got 30 seconds. You just answer as many as you can, and you pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Maybe what?
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Craig Levein succeed as St Johnstone manager?
Danny McInnes.
Who was Rangers captain before James Tavernier?
Stephen Davis.
In what country did Martin Boyle go between his spells at Hibs?
Austria.
Who was Celtic's only Slovakian manager?
Joe Venglis.
Ayr's nickname, The Honest Men, comes from which poet?
Robbie Burns.
How many times have Partick Thistle won the Scottish Cup?
Six.
What shape is the nickname of Airdrie?
What sheep?
Shape.
Diamonds.
No. Let's bring Jim Duffy back. Don't give anything away. Now, Brian just misheard me in a really funny way, which would have really changed the question. I'll tell you more later. Did you tut at one of those questions?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Have a bit of respect.
Some of them were ridiculous. Who's making them up?
What do you mean?
Well, wait till you, Jim, back me up.
Thanks for that. We'll see.
Audibly tutted during one of the questions. Anyway, 30 seconds, Jim. Your time starts now. Who did Craig Levein succeed as St Johnstone manager?
Steve McLean.
Who was the Rangers captain before James Tavernier?
Alan McGregor.
In what country did Martin Boyle play between his spells at Hibs?
Sweden.
Who was Celtic's only Slovakian manager?
Joseph Venglis.
Ayr's nickname, The Honest Men, comes from which poet?
Robbie Burns.
How many times have Partick Thistle won the Scottish Cup?
Once.
What shape is the nickname of Airdrie?
Diamonds.
That was the one that he misheard. Yeah. Brian goes, what sheep?
Sheep. That was sheep.
I don't know if we know any famous sheep, but anyway, how did it feel, Brian? Rate your own performance.
It'll be close, but I think you just bit me, I think.
Let's find out. Craig Levein succeeded Stephen McLean. Brian, you just randomly shouted a former St Johnston manager, didn't you? Derek McInnes was ages ago. Stephen McLean 1-0. Jim Duffy, Craig Levein sacked today, if you're wondering why that's in there. Who was Rangers captain before James Tavernier? None of you got it.
I'm going to go Lee McCulloch.
Lee Wallace.
Lee Wallace. I knew it was a Lee.
Yeah.
I'm sure Al McGregor is a captain.
Yeah. No, I'm okay.
It's okay. I must admit, I feel like I kind of forgot about this for some reason. It didn't last long. Martin Boyle, remember Saudi? Kind of big move, and obviously had to let go, but came back. So still one. However, no. They all picked up form here. Joe Venglos, the only Slovakian, you both got it. Rabbi Burns, the honest men.
That's the one I tutted up.
You both got it.
To be or not to be.
A Mary
Shakespeare. Rabbi Burns. Rabbi Shakespeare.
Who would have guessed that literature would not be your strong point?
To be or not to be? That is a question.
A Mary Hillman was bound to get this, wasn't he? Partick Thistle have won the Scottish Cup once. Yeah. Did you say six times, Brian?
I did.
You're doing them a real compliment there, I have to say. And the shape, I need to work in my pronunciation. Yes. Not sheep. The shape is the nickname of Airdrie, is Diamond, which, do you know what, Brian? I think three is perfectly respectable, but Jim got five hard lines.
Five, three things happen.
These do happen. You're a Rangers fan, though, Brian, that right?
Yes, I am.
How are things? I mean, it's a win at the weekend. It sounds a bit kind of dull. Is that just what it is at the moment? Just try and win, step at a time.
People's early connect.
Ah, no, so you're not really cheered up at all by it then?
No, definitely no.
Fair enough.
I actually thought it was a good performance.
I thought first half Rangers played really well. Well.
They started, but
they got to score more goals, and that was the thing. But the first half, got up to Tandice, dominated the game, scored a great goal, could have scored another couple. Second half, without looking as if we're going to lose anything, I think Jim Goodwin alluded to that. They were just solid, without being, you know, brilliant. But it was a good result. So particularly on the back of losing so comfortably against Celtic.
So what do you mean, Brian? You just feel like that's just kind of putting something, you know, pushing it down the line until you get another a tough test and you lose it?
No, I think once you get a successful team, that boy Iganami, he looks quite decent. He can hold the ball up and he's got a nice wee touch about him. Better than Dessels, I've got to say. But I say there's something no right up at Ibrox. Definitely no, because it's, I mean, with the board, I don't know, I just kind of fathom them at times.
Well, I mean, that last statement, for various ways, I think that's fair. It's hard to argue. If you don't have a CEO, you don't have a chairman.
But the chairman's left through
Grant, of course, it's not like a criticism on him or on that decision, but that's a big situation. That's a big scenario to deal with. If you were looking for positives, as Brian hit it in the head about Igamani, again, it's small sample. We know no one should get carried away, but you've got to respect Rangers fans are just looking for positives at the moment.
He looked lively, didn't he? Some of his touches were brilliant. It's fairly very early doors, but what I've seen of him when he come on, I think he excited the fans. I think he's one of these guys that I'd like to sit and watch him. I think he's got a rare talent there. Just getting up to speed, and it'll be interesting to see what he brings. But just on, and as I say, you can't judge players on if he come on didn't play well, you know, for a substitute. We're not going to sit here and criticise him, but he come on, he looked sharp, he livened it up, some of his touches, great through ball for Lawrence. I think Lawrence should do better and score. The weight of the pass was perfect as well. I think Rangers fans will be excited to see this guy,
because it's hard to judge maybe Barami as well. He played kind of wider, didn't he? Probably won't play off the left as much going forward. I know fans were really excited to see him. There was a huge debate about whether he should have started the game or not.
I think it's a difficult one, because Philip Clement has made a statement early on and said this is a project. And I think when you say that, when you're the Rangers manager, you leave yourself wide open. How long does a project take? And as Brian said, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, there's an awful lot there. So where does the project start and where does it finish? I think you need to have all your players available and fit. Again, Philip Clement made a statement last year. Clement made a statement last year about the amount of injuries and try to rectify that and changing the medical side and the sports science side. And they're still hampered by problems in that area. So I think there's a lot of things that have to be sorted. allow the team to settle down, for the new players to bed in, to see whether there is enough competition in places, and then see if there's an improvement. I don't think there'll be enough improvement to match Celtic over the course of the season, and ultimately that's where Rangers are judged. But does the team improve? Is there, you know, a degree of optimism going forward? And I think that's what, you know, the Rangers fans grudgingly are going to have to accept, that there's going to be a few painful periods in this rebirth of Rangers, if you want to call it that, under Philip Clement, to see if he can eventually try and make a fist of it in terms of a title challenge.
Does that worry you a bit, Brian, that uncertainty at the top with, you know, kind of leadership roles lying vacant currently?
Well, it does worry, because you don't care what's going to happen come the, maybe the January, if you're looking for money to maybe reinforce your team. But I think, me personally, I would like to see somebody take care of the club with a wee bit of money, like American, but well, that'll happen or whether it'll not happen. But I think we'll go right this year, once he gets a settled team in, and I think we'll all challenge for the top. All right, Celtic is a blip, but we're still hanging in there. It's only 4 games, 5 games, whatever it is, into the season. It's a long season ahead, so fingers crossed they can do it.
I mean, that situation has... it's not moved in the sense that we've seen a conclusion, but already in the last couple of days it seems to have. Last night Dave King was in all the newspapers, and he was in other radio shows saying he would want to come back, and he would steady the ship, and he wasn't impressed with what Rangers had been doing. But it now looks like that won't happen. So it's kind of come and gone.
I don't know about
quickly.
You, Gordon, but I don't get this. You see the Tony Bloom thing, it's at Hearts. Bloom to invest £10 million to do it, but obviously dealing with the recruitment. Why would you not look at Rangers? You know, I mean, they're a huge club. They've got an unbelievable fan base. They're desperate for investment. You know, their recruitment hasn't been great. So you go in there with your analysis company and you say, listen, we'll put the money in and we'll look at the players. You would think that would be something that a club that Rangers would have to look at seriously.
Yeah, I think Rangers need to get a better structure off the pitch as well. You know, everybody looks at what's happening on it with the manager and the players. I thought Sunday was a very good result for them, because they were under a bit of pressure. And what's the guy's name? Again, on the phone.
Igamani?
No,
oh,
on
Brian.
The phone. Brian. Sorry, Brian, I forgot your name. Brian.
You see that big screen there?
Yeah,
it's a handy way of looking.
So it's Brian and Hurlford. But Brian was right. I think they've got to stop papering over the cracks. They've got to kick on. They've got a decent enough squad now. They'll get players back. But off the pitch, they've got to get it right as well. Everything goes hand in hand, you know, and if you're going to try and chase Celtic, and I thought that the weekend, because of the pressure, if we'd have lost that game, and everybody was thinking it was going to be a real difficult game, all of a sudden they're behind the black ball trying to chase Celtic, and it was never going to happen.
We often hear the same kind of stock phrases trotted out when we're talking about boardroom issues, whatever they may be, that, listen, that stuff doesn't affect players. As if Igamani's jogging onto the pitch worrying about who the chairman's going to be, that doesn't happen. I'm sure it probably doesn't. But as Brian says, if you're going towards January, and I think Roger Hanna made it the point last night, who's signing off on players coming in or budgets or whatever? I'm sure Rangers might say there is somebody doing it, but you know, you need that to be...
Well, the bottom line is John Gilligan's been made chairman, and if you're chairman, you have to take that responsibility, and John will do that. So he'll be signing off. He'll be the guy that leads, that kind of side of it. Whether it's temporary or not, it's like going in as an interim manager. You can't go in and think, well, I might not be here in a few weeks, so I can't make any big decisions. If there's big decisions to be made, John will have to make them as the chairman. Whether he's there for the long term or not, only time will tell. But while he is the chairman of Rangers, he has to make the big calls.
Well, let's hear from Robin Proper. The Dutch defender is delighted Rangers will be returning to Ibrox this weekend and thinks it could make a big difference.
Yeah, of course. What I said, it was already nice to see today how many fans cheering for us, and I never experienced that in Holland, like a away stadium with so many fans from us. So especially if you can do that, a game in Ibrox together, that's really, really special, and I think that's going to be a big difference for us. That's one of the reasons you come to Rangers, to be part of that with the fans, with in the stadium, and I'm really glad that it's now going to happen, and I hope we can can improve and do a lot of good things there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you kind of forget he's never played there for Rangers and various others. If we're talking Igamani, if Cherny comes back in, if Barami gets his first start, and you know, you could go on and on. So clearly, it's just another thing that had to be
ticked off
to try and get this season back on track, because results are one thing, but the thing that had made those results worse in the first place was Ibrox, was some of the other arguments. So to at least get that kind of,
I know they got a good result against Ross County at Hampden, but they never ever looked comfortable for me. Not just the players. I don't think the fans enjoyed the experience as well, Gordon. There's nothing better than your home comforts, being at home. You'll see it this weekend, obviously. They've got the cup against Dundee, and they'll just be delighted to be back there playing.
Yeah, I think when you're at Ibrox and it's your home ground, there's just a different emotion when you go out in the pitch, and I think that the players have to welcome that and have to rise to that challenge and the expectation. I mean, Robin Proper saying there, yeah, this, and we want to go in front of our fans, but you have to make a connection. You have to develop a connection. Rangers are still searching for that at this moment in time in this season because of the performance and the result against Celtic. They have to get positive performances, results back to back at Ibrox to get the fans back on side, as I said, to make a connection. And if they do that, then they can go on a run and have a level of a consistency that can put them in a good place in the league.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to join in, we would like you to join in, so hopefully you can get involved there. You are more than welcome to just tweet at Clyde SSB if you hear something that you'd like to wade in on. Some big stories doing the rounds today in the managerial front, because we've got our first top flight managerial casualty, Craig Levein. Any St Johnstone fans out there, give us a call right now. And anyone else who's interested, why not stick your tuppence worth in as well, because we'll take a look at that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon Dalziel are in the building, and you can get in touch on 0141 951 1025. This time of the night always becomes like a contact us section of a website, because you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. And last but not least, if you want to submit a question for the full time teaser, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. I think this is really tough for Richard.
No.
Unless you just start throwing loads of names at me,
which will happen,
which I hope you don't.
Right.
At least try and roughly remember guys that could have done this.
Okay.
Ahead of tomorrow's Champions League match, can you name the last five players to score a goal for Rangers or Celtic on match day one of the Champions League group stages?
Rangers or Celtic
on match day one. So maybe a bit.
Henrik Larsson.
Again, you would think it's a good place to start, but no.
John Hartson.
No.
Chris Sutton.
He's just running.
I'm worried about this.
Yeah.
Okay, here's
I was going to go Chris Coleman.
No.
But I'm
Gary Hooper.
There.
My clue to you, right, would be if you're going to go Celtic, think of really memorable
Tony
Nakamura.
Nakamura. There we go. Okay.
Oh, man.
Four to get. Ahead of tomorrow's Champions League match, can you name the last five players to score for Rangers or Celtic on match day one? Needless to say, they might not have always, like last season, Celtic didn't score on match day one, as an example, didn't they? So
this is
anyway,
tough.
Oh, it's tough, all right. fulltime@clyde1.com. Thank you to Richard. Send yours in. Big news today coming out of the Scottish top flight, the first of the season in terms of managerial casualties. I don't know if this would have been the predictable one or if you'd have gone somewhere else. The board of directors can announce that St Johnstone Football Club have parted company with Craig Levein. Thanks to Craig for all his efforts. Andy Kirk and Alex Cleland will take charge for the game against Ross County. A further update will follow in due course. That is the brief 3.5-line statement from McDermott Park today. Let's welcome in Sam from the Dogger Saints podcast, who's on the line. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well. How are you, fellas? All right?
Good, thank you. I suppose first, Sam, did that surprise you? What was like your reaction to it before we get stuck into the finer detail?
I thought you might have got the Ross County game on Saturday. I know the results haven't been great, but they've been pretty swift about it. Nobody kind of, I don't think even Craig had a clue it was coming. So it came as a bit of a surprise, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it, if I'm being brutally honest with you.
That's an important factor, actually. I meant to mention that, by all accounts, at 1 o'clock today, Craig Levein met the press, spoke about his plans for the weekend, spoke about recruitment plans, and at 20 past 3 there was a statement. So he learned about it at some point between one and back of three.
That was a bad lunch.
So are you, you know, Sam saying he thought maybe get another game. What did you, was this on your radar as a potential?
No, because I know that their form is a 1-5. They've won, lost the other ones. I thought they were, I watched the highlights against Hibs at the weekend. I thought they were a bit poor, to be honest with you. I thought he would have got Ross County because it's not like they're sitting rock bottom. It's not like they've not had a win. You look at teams like Kilmarnock's no 1-5 in the league. You know, Derek McInnes will never come under pressure. Hearts are the same. So it's maybe just new owners coming in, want to go a different route, want to bring something else to St Johnstone. Maybe looked at style of football. I don't see St Johnstone that often. But they've got rid of an experienced manager and they've now got to replace him with the right one.
Sam, how much of that new ownership is driving this, do you think? You know, as a tough question to answer, but as an example, if the old ownership was still in place, would this decision have come about as quickly?
No, straight answer there. It's very much 100% the new owners are trying to stamp their mark. The appointment of Craig Levein was very much Jeff Brown's doing. He wanted him in. That was his man. He wanted in the job. So if Jeff was still here, then there'd be no doubt that Craig Levein would still be there as well. Because obviously we went 18 years without sacking a manager. We were usually a good platform for young managers to come in and then move on. Owen Coyle, Derek McInnes, all these guys. So new owner coming in, he's obviously not seen what he's like. But it being such a quick sack, and I don't know whether he's got somebody lined up already. It just seems like the timing's a bit odd. So it'll be interesting the next few days to kind of see what happens with if somebody does come in quickly.
Because that does seem like a general mindset you would go into as a new owner, where you would say, well, I'm not going to go and sack this guy on day one, but I'm now taking over this project and I want it to be mine and I've got my own ideas about management. So he's on borrowed time, or maybe not as extreme as that, but they don't need a second invitation to try and change, because you would want to change anyway, but you don't want to be as controversial as walking in day one and sacking a guy when he's not done much wrong.
I think that's already in the owner's mind before he takes over the club, before they buy the club. I think when they're part of the discussions and looking at all the infrastructure and the football side of it, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, right, if we take over this club, I would like this person, if I can get him, or this type of person, if it's there. And therefore, you might get surprised by the manager who's in, and he might then, make it that difficult for you by getting results and performances. But if it's not, you're already further down the line. So, Craig's knows how this works. And when the new owners come in, he probably thought himself, I need to really be hitting the ground running here, and I need to get this right, or else, it's going to be a relatively short season. And that's exactly it. Mid-September, he's found himself out of the job. And again, I'd be surprised if the new owners are not quite far down the line of appointing someone.
Yeah, I suppose the difficulty at this stage of the season, Sam, is it is 4 defeats in a row. It's, you know, 1 win in the league this season, but because it's so early, you're, 3 points off the top 6, you know, is there any part of that that makes you think it's a bit early?
Yeah, but we haven't seen an improvement. To be fair, going back, I'm a bit surprised he stayed on, because he was originally brought in to keep us up, because last season we were in much worse state than we are this season. We hadn't had a win. I think we played our first round of fixtures and we were sitting on 1 point. So he was brought in to keep us up, and he did that. I thought he might have gone in the summer once he'd done that and he knew the owners were going out. But I don't like managers getting sacked, because after the window's closed, there's not much a new manager can do. Give them till Christmas, because we do have a win on the board, and it was a pretty convincing win against Kilmarnock as well. So, and we've been pretty competitive in some of the games, not the Hibs game certainly, that was rank rotten, but I would have certainly given them the Ross County game, but that's just my opinion. The fans were pretty, I think the majority of fans, 98%, were quite happy to see him go. I wasn't one of them, but we'll be interested to see who comes in. I've got a couple of ideas who it might be.
Go on then, don't tease us like that. Just get them straight out there.
I would like to see Tommy Wright come back. He's a man that knows the club. He's a man that gets the best out of players. And I know he's got a pretty cushy gig at the Northern Ireland under-21s, but it wouldn't there'd be worse appointments than Tommy Wright coming back.
Once famously took the huff with Clyde One as an institution.
Who was it
because
against?
Jim Duffy tipped him to go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Refused to do interviews with Super Scoreboard.
Yeah,
because
Jim Duffy tipped him to go
down. Anyway, we forgive and forget and we move on.
Who else did you go for, Sam? Who else did you say?
I thought Andy Kirk, the fact he's still there would suggest that maybe he might get the gig full time. That would probably be the easiest, cheapest method. But
I found that interesting, Sam, because he's like Craig Levein's man, wasn't he?
Mm. You know, Craig Levein brought him from Brechin.
Goes everywhere with him.
How does that work? Because sometimes when you sack a manager, you're like guilty by association then if you've been left behind. Can you expect things to be different, Sam, if it was Andy Kirk?
From what I was gathering, he was doing a lot of the work on the training ground anyway with the team.
Yeah.
But
just managerial delegation. A lot of managers do that. They bring in their coach and they do the man management, the tactics and all that stuff, and the coaches, and Andy was, you know, doing the coaching. I don't know if there was any surprise there.
So
I think
you
Craig
don't see that as like not an issue, Sam, but you don't see that as like he is guilty by association, and if things haven't been good enough, you know, what will be different if he gets the job?
Well, I don't think anything would be different, but the fact that he's not gone with Craig Levein would suggest that he's a candidate for the job. If not, he would be away. So that'll be an interesting one to see what differences he does make if he does get to put a stamp on the team.
For me, that doesn't really matter. I think it's just a case of when the manager gets sacked, the board needs someone to take the day.
He's
under
contract.
Alan Cleland's here as well, as he has been before.
And plus the fact, remember, he's probably got a mortgage and family and everything, so you've got to sit there. And any manager will tell you, sit there and take your money until you're told to get out the door. I don't think they'll give it to an Andy Kirk. I think the new owners will come in, and for me, they need a lift. I think they'll try and do something that will surprise us. Whether it works or not, I don't know, but I think they'll already have somebody in their mind.
See if it's a former Brechin manager they're looking for. Do you know a guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He's winning everything.
Would he step away from the Partick Thistle under 18s? Taylor, you look at that sort of there's always a balance here of, because the manager takes the fall for this, but are the players doing enough or whatever? It looks like the striking options, if they can stay suspension free, are actually pretty good. Is that what gives you a bit of hope going forward?
Yeah, I think Craig Levein's legacy with the team is unearthing some gems. Kim Pioka's had an outstanding start. Sidibe's still rough, but if they can sort out the discipline problems, then I think we've got some really good striking options up there. But the defence, we concede every week from set pieces and stuff. It's the basics we just need to sort out, but that is some of the good points that Craig Levein has done. Is he's gone down different avenues to try and find players, which other managers haven't done. Like, he's gone to the Portuguese second division and taken tips off internationals to see if any players will want to come. And like Andre Raymond at left back has been superb. Adama Sidibe came from Warrington Rylands and he's hit the ground running. Kim Pioka's trying to prove himself again. So these players, I just need to get a player to get the most out of them and sort the discipline out.
Because I always think the two ends, I always say it, it's just a theory of mine that I've not really looked into. The team that goes down's always got an issue in goal, always. That's just how I feel about the Premiership. And I don't know if St Johnstone, would that be fair, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. We've been blessed with some great goalkeepers.
Mitov was excellent, wasn't he?
Remy Matthews from Crystal Palace the year before that, Xander Clark the season before that. So it's never an area we've struggled with, and I think we have tried to bring in somebody before the window, and it's not happened. And we've got Ross Winkler, who everybody in Perth wants to do well, local lad, Scotland under 21 international, and Josh Ray, who's came from Airdrie. But we've got Gordon Marshall in now as goalkeeping coach, because we didn't have one, so fingers crossed he can get a tune out of them, because that's where we're really, really toiling at the back for.
I assume though Craig Levein brought Gordon Marshall in yesterday or whatever it was. That's how football works, isn't it? But would that, to offset my goalkeeping worries, a lot of teams, even a good bit higher in the table than St Johnstone, would like to have players like Kim Pioka and Sidibe in their team if they can stay suspension free.
Craig's been a bit unlucky with that. I think that the discipline's been a problem
to
for
be
him
fair, Kim Pioka's was only this weekend, wasn't it?
But he makes a rash challenge at Easter Road and rightly so gets sent off as well. But
do you think so? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
You do?
I thought it was a record.
Enough contact?
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be enough contact. He's endangering the opponent, is he?
I think it's a good debating one.
I didn't look at it and think, I felt a bit sorry for him. I thought,
is it a control, one at the pace he goes in it and stuff like that, speed that's
also it's a very daft decision from him, to be fair, but whether daftness gets you sent off or not. Anyway, we've kind of gone off track a little bit. Right, Sam, what's the dream name then? Is Tommy Wright? Yeah, no other. I mean, you've kind of predicted Andy Kirk, but if it was like your wish list, Tommy Wright, and is that it?
Their name's been bandied about online. The likes of Scott Brown, I don't think would be a sensible appointment. But American owners could be a Ted Lasso character coming in from America. Who knows? But I would take Tommy back, settle the ship, and then keep yourself in the Premier League and go again from there.
You're a big fan of Ted Lasso, aren't you?
Love it.
Do you know I've never watched it?
I'd like to work with his chairman.
I'm not even going to ask, right? Because I think
the boss is a good boss. Put it that way.
Is it a female by any chance?
I thought it might be, right?
Honestly, just lowering the tone. Sam, thank you very much. That was Sam from the Dogger Saints podcast giving us his reaction. Thank you, Sam, to the reaction to Craig Levein's sacking. Taylor is a St Johnstone fan on the line. Right decision for you, Taylor?
Absolutely. I think it was well and truly his time to go. He's a dinosaur in management. I don't think we can play hoofball anymore. He's brought in 9 reasonable players. Jason Holt's a questionable signing. But I think, we need to maybe spend a bit of money on manager or try and pip a young manager.
Were you not playing a slightly better style at times this season? You look at the front two, they were pretty entertaining, were they not?
Yeah, and I think that's where you've got to actually give thanks to Green finding Kimpioka and especially Sevadia from the 7th tier in England. You know, his work on that was excellent. But we've been playing the same style for 3 seasons now. This season, results haven't went our way. As Sam said before, set pieces, we're losing it. Every set piece, discipline's not great, so we need change.
I think there's always I get frustrated when I hear the term dinosaur. I think that anybody that's over a certain age seems to get tagged that way, as if you can't play a certain brand of football if you're a certain age, which is just nonsense. I haven't seen St Johnstone enough, but the parts that I have seen, I think they have tried to play a bit more football this year, Taylor, and I think that bringing those players in, there has been indiscipline, and so therefore you've not had... maybe some of the creative players that Craig Levein would like to have in. But at the same token, as Gordon mentioned there, they're sitting there, they've got 3 points on board, they're sitting 10th. If they beat Ross County this week, they'd probably jump up a couple of places depending on other results. And if that was the case, I think, most St Johnstone fans would probably think, well, at this stage of the season, even though it's early, there are shoots of optimism there. But, I always respect the fans that go week in, week out. If they're not happy and they're conveying that, whether it's through social media, whether it's through voicing their opinions at the game, then absolutely respect that. But either way, the new owners will bring in someone perhaps from left field, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of brand of football and style of football that brings as well to St Johnstone. Do they have enough flair in the team to play that expansive football that Taylor and maybe some of the St Johnstone fans demand?
Taylor, who would you go for next?
Rhys McCabe from Airdrie.
Oh, that's an interesting shout. Can you see it?
Yeah, he had a terrific season last year.
Last couple of seasons.
Struggling a little bit this year, but he's a young manager. Apparently, I've not seen Airdrie for a while, but apparently plays some attractive football as well. He's getting a bit of reputation. Look, sometimes you've just got to have a look at coaches about and their style of football. Would that suit St Johnstone as a football club? It's up to the owners and obviously...
What do you think, Jim?
Listen, there'll be a lot of names getting bandied about, but and I know that they might be actually a bigger club in some aspects, Falkirk. But John McGlynn has done a phenomenal job at Falkirk. The style of football they play, winning the league, top of the championship at this moment in time. Now, whether John would be interested in going and all these sort of things, who knows? Whether St Johnstone could afford it, the compensation required. But I just think if you actually, again, take Taylor's phrasing away, John's a very experienced manager, but the style of football he plays, if you want to call it, maybe belies his age, because he does play such an attractive brand of football. And I think he's got to be in the conversation for any job really that comes up in the Premier League, because I think he's done such an outstanding job and at Falkirk over the last couple of seasons.
Had a tweet in from Puzzog to say Scott Brown, which came up on the phones briefly. It kind of got dismissed. Someone else said Neil Lennon.
Yeah. Well, Neil's available, obviously, and he's got Premier League experience. He's done, again, great job at Celtic and at Hibs. So he's got the kind of balance right. It hasn't worked out for him when he went away to Romania there. But again, he's definitely another candidate that I think he'll be in the mix.
If they're one experience or youth, yeah. Isn't it? It depends what way they're going to go.
Some good names, that I like that. I can, very different. You look at John McGlynn and Reece McCabe.
Yeah.
Very different, but also kind of similar in that they're both in the Championship, both play a certain brand of football. Okay, I like what I'm hearing. We'll see how that one plays out in the coming days. Thank you to Taylor on the line. The question tonight from Richard: can you name the last five players to score for Rangers or Celtic on match day one of the Champions League? You got Nakamura in 06.
What about Novo?
No.
Marvin Crunch.
The clue I'll give you, there's another one on that same game, Man United, Nakamura.
Right, because I was looking at Morelos for Rangers or Kane.
So I'll be honest, just to help you, because I know it's tough. Most of these are back
a
bit. So that tells you that Celtic haven't really scored on the opening week of the Champions League in recent seasons.
Still in Petrov?
Nope. He's a striker. I'll give you some thinking time, okay? And we'll be back.
Lee Griffiths?
Nope. We'll be back with the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy have reached the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is still time for you to get involved on the phone, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter @ClydeSSB. We're also asking you to, in here, to answer this full time teaser. Now, the beauty of it is, this is when you, the listener, sends the questions in and we test the pundit's knowledge on the last bit of the show. So can you name the last five players to score a goal for Rangers or Celtic on match day one of the Champions League? It's a tough question. Generally, distinguish between what was match day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. Nakamura, Man United 06. I did give you a clue before the break that Celtic's other one on this list is actually the same game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only way I can think of is a striker, and it's because I actually seen him not that long ago, but anyway, he was over for one of the charity matches, I think, Jan Veniger of Hessling.
Correct, same game, Man United 2006. So Celtic, haven't scored on the opening day of the Champions League since 06. Right, any others from Rangers? Rangers are all similar era, and by the way, against the same opponent, it's only one team mentioned, but two different games.
Right, I'm going
That's
to...
That's confused me.
It was just a by-the-by.
We're just taking a... Charlie Adam.
Oh, just taking a guess. It's a great guess. Against Stuttgart. A city close to your heart after the...
Oh, yeah.
Euros.
Love Germany.
I feel like...
I would go and live in Germany now.
No, Cologne you liked.
I loved Cologne.
I feel like Stuttgart...
I thought you liked Stuttgart.
No,
I liked everywhere.
Stuttgart was up against it because it was last.
All right.
And he was fed up. Right, yeah. So like that... It could have been the best place on earth, which it isn't, but it could have been, and it just wouldn't feel that way.
No,
because by
was
then,
my love,
it was time up.
I left my heart.
However,
Cologne.
Stuttgart is. You did it twice, actually. You did two incredible disappearing acts while we were there, but I thought your Stuttgart one was the best, I have to say. So we because you've seen this before, Jim. You're like me, you're a teetotal, you observe people's behaviour. Mm. And every now and then they'll get to a stage in the night where they just
disappear
off into the night. But I've never seen anything as dramatic as this. We met up with colleagues from like STV, BBC and so on. So it ended up being quite a group of us. It was like a weird lads holiday or something. I think there was females there as well. Anyway, walking down the street in a big group, heading specifically for some place, all walking. and he's walking fine, and he's right next, and he just 180, like as quick as you can, just about turned, like mid stride, and then just walked off
into the distance,
the opposite direction, never to be seen again.
Come back, Dad, like,
Shane.
If anybody's old enough to remember, come back, Shane.
Yeah, that was a good night.
So that was Stuttgart, who incidentally featured on tonight's teaser. That's how it came up. Charlie Adams scored against them. You're looking for a couple of others, but yeah, that was
in this same era.
Yeah, another one would be the same game, and then the remaining one was 2 years later, 2009.
You seen Barry Ferguson, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not a million miles off, but no. The two remaining
Lee
ones.
Lee McCulloch?
Nope, they're not Scottish, the remaining ones. Right. One's a centre back, one's a striker. Neither are Scottish. Okay, just a quick one whilst we're here. If you fancy a change in career, we might have an answer. Clyde One, we're working with Allied Vehicles to find some new vehicle production operatives to join their team. They're having a recruitment open day this Thursday between 3 and 8, so head along, find out how their 4-day working week works. Like the sound of that. You can check out ClydeOne.com for all the details. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers whilst we are coming to the end. He says people will cry about last season's Champions League campaign. However, he thinks they showed up well and learned a lot.
Listen, if you look at the nuts and bolts of it, people will say you only got 4 points, and then they'll cry about that, and then the season before and the season before. For me, I look at it, I thought last year was decisive moments, probably apart from the game away in Madrid where we lost the man early on in the game and we got punished by a team that got to the quarterfinal. And they made real good use of playing against 10 men. I think the other games, I thought we showed up well then. I think there was a lot of learning in it. But for me, looking at it, I'm thinking if we could strengthen the squad, then we could take another step and be closer. And we've been able to do that. So I think that we've seen that through pre-season. We used the games against Man City and Chelsea as Champions League preparation games and how we set the team up and how we tried to play and work. So I think we arrive into it, hopefully having learned from last season and knowing that at this level, it is about the, not just the details, the really small details that make the difference.
We go round and round with this on Celtic. I don't mind if people are big picture and they say, yep, you finish bottom of the league, 4 points, don't care, you know, end of story. And you can't argue with that. Those are facts and they're set in stone. You would also understand where Brendan Rodgers comes from. You work your way through the group, you've got two men sent off against Feyenoord away, so you're not winning away in the Champions League with 9 men. You're just not. Okay, right. The home game against Atletico Madrid was actually a really good performance, and Celtic got something from it. They won the last match day. That's the one he's referring to at home, to Feyenoord. You lose in Rome, Lazio is at, I don't know, is that a disgrace? But it basically comes down to really messing up one of those games is the home game against Lazio. They should never have lost it, if you remember. Maybe escape with a draw, they end up losing. So you mess up one game and then circumstances go against you and others, you're out. But maybe this new format, because it's longer, you get more kind of time.
I mean, Brendan said there that, you know, learning, I've heard this a few times, not just from Brendan Rodgers, from other previous managers as well, about learning. The only way you can learn is if you get it right the next time round. And this is the next time round. So it's all about the performance and the result tomorrow night, first and foremost. And, you know, to see what they have learned and what they have gained. Again, we hear phrases like small details. Well, small details is about discipline. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get sent off.
Yeah.
Don't make silly challenges. Understand that European referees are less lenient than perhaps domestic referees, even though should be the same rules. We all know, we see it in games every week in European football. So you've got to be cleverer, you've got to be smarter, you've got to understand European football. So all of these things, you know, can make the difference. I do agree, Gordon, with you. Some of the performances were better than the results, but ultimately,
yeah, of course, you can't have argue to, too yeah, much with
you
that.
Have to be switched on in the key moments and make sure that you're not punished. And I think Brendan said there, his squad is stronger. He believes he's stronger. Tactically, they've got more awareness. He feels he's got more options. That if a game is needing to be wrapped up, he can do that.
Will they get the big moments right tomorrow? We'll find out. Right, two more former Rangers players who scored on match day one of the Champions League. We're looking for the last five from either of the Old Firm. Charlie Adam, Jan Venegar of Hesselink, Shinsuke Nakamura, Yadobal. Any others?
Struggling, mate.
Right, okay. or was it defender? Oh my goodness, why have I forgotten his nationality? Was he Algerian? Why on earth have I forgotten his nationality? I think he was.
Was he Algerian or French?
Yeah, no, you're thinking of. I think you've just got his name wrong, right? I think it's the right guy. You've just got his.
Bogenegger.
You're confusing two guys. Bogera. No.
Bogera.
Was that right? Bogera.
Yeah.
Does he score? Yeah. I would never get that.
Stuttgart 2007. He was kind of French striker. Played in the run to Manchester as well.
French striker.
French.
No.
Jean-Pierre Papin.
Claude.
Darcheville. Oh, never get that.
Thank you to Tim Bolden. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you join us.